transforming power of God is lies in His Word. Amen. Amen. Before I forget, we're going to have a baptism after service tonight.
Amen.
When I made that request after the last service, if anybody wanted to be baptized, give their life to the Lord, I didn't see a little 8-year-old hand that went like this. But Mama spotted it, Sister Sherry, and so Susan's going to be baptized. I'm trying to spot them. Where are they? Oh, right there. Okay. Very good. Oh, right there. Very good. God bless. Okay, while you're standing, let me get my notes here ready. John chapter 6. So that you all who are listening to me can comprehend what is happening, I'll remind you once again and then give you a little background on it. I'm trying to get ready for the Ukraine meetings, which are, they're wanting me to go through the entire book of Revelations. And I don't want to take the normal 20-something meetings that it normally takes to go through the book of Revelations. So I'm trying to sort out how to boil it down. And so before you can boil something down, you've got to gather all the facts. And so I'm in the process of gathering facts. So it may not sound to you much like the book of Revelation on the direction we're going tonight, but it is. And it's the kind of thing that I have to get it all into my mind so that I can pull what I need to insert into the Revelation series that we're going to do there. Not that I'll do there what I'm doing here tonight. That isn't the idea. The idea is you're hearing what I'm presently studying. Whether I use it all or not, that doesn't matter, because I don't have time between now and then to study for these services, plus get ready for those services, because I have to get those ready to get them shipped over there so they can get them get all the slides translated into the Russian language before the time comes and that they'll have it ready in their own language. John 6:39. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, Isaiah 54:13, and they shall all be taught of God. They will have him in person for their teacher. Every man that therefore has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Everyone who has listened and learned from the Father comes unto me. So the obvious subject is revelation, because without hearing from the Father to understand about the Son, you're not going to make it. So our subject tonight is revelation, not the book of Revelation, but revelation on the book of Revelation. Heavenly Father, we just now commit the service into your hands. May you take the speaker, the listener, and God, bring something sensible out of it. I have studied such a broad area now in getting all this material gathered together. Just pull out what's needful tonight, we ask, Lord, for your children. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may recall that in Revelations chapter 1, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And if you're a good student of the message, you'll remember that in the Revelation of Jesus Christ series and in the Church Age book, they right there it launched into the fact there is no way you can underestimate the necessity of revelation. And so he says, before you get into the Word, get into the Spirit. Then the revelation that can be taught. Otherwise, you're just going through an intellectual process. And because I want to really drive home clearly about this intellectual process versus revelation, that's where I'm going to go and why I'm going in the direction that I'm going. Because there is not a seminary, an established seminary in the world that can give you revelation. Neither is there an established seminary in the world that can even give you this message. For one thing, the seminaries are lagging behind in the former age kind of understanding. But not only that, I discovered it myself. You may recall about a year ago, I told you I was going to take several months off and write a book on the doctrines of the message. And so as I would get ready to do the doctrines, I would say, well, let me brush up now so that I'll be ready to put it on paper, thinking I'm going to brush up on what I already knew. And when I started brushing up, lo and behold, it opened up on a whole new level again. And I thought, well, how can a person ever write a book on this? Because it's just an unending fountain. It just keeps opening and opening and opening. And when Brother Stephen Strew was here, he said, I've attempted several times to write doctrine out of the message. And he said, somehow I just can't seem to get around to it. He says, I was really glad when I heard you were going to do it. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And I told him why. He said, I found the same thing. And then I ran into another brother who said he was going to put all the doctrines together. It's Owen Jorgensen that's writing the books on the life of William Branham. And he's running into the same thing. It's such an unending fountain. You say, which part of the revelation do I write? Last year's or this year's or what's it going to be next year? And that's why when God put it in print in the Bible, he put it in such a way that it can just keep opening, opening, opening. And when that same spirit that wrote the Bible spoke through a prophet, it lays in the messages exactly the same way. But if I happen to take the message and then on another level call carnal, I start writing down what my carnal mind knows at that stage, it may be the end of the bottom of the bucket right there, because it won't be written in a way that it can continue to open. So it's frightening to me to try and put those things into print, because you really want that revelation to be able to just keep flowing and not put a bottom on it somewhere because you stated it in a little bit in your own thinking instead of totally Holy Ghost. And those things do happen, you know. So that's where we're talking about. Now, in Revelations also, we'll look quickly there just for a couple statements. Book of Revelations, chapter 1, first of all. Verse 10 is the one I quoted to you already. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So before the revelation could come, John was pulled into the Spirit. He didn't say, I was in the flesh on the Lord's day. Not only that, but to remind you again, the Lord's day was not Sunday. The Lord's day is a day of the great wrath of God being poured out. And so consequently, he had to have been transported forward in time. In reality, even just a little further forward than we are right now, as far as that position right there, because the Lord's day has not blossomed out into its fullness by any means, because it's a day of the wrath of God, and it's something that Joel says nobody should ask for it coming, because it's going to be a terrible, terrible day. And then in each church age, in chapters 2 and 3, we find that the last verse to each church age, so to Ephesus would be verse 7, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To the Smyrna church age, verse 11, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And then you heard Brother Glenn mentioning, to him that overcometh, got to have something to overcome. The primary thing here in overcoming, the primary thing, of course, through the church ages, is that Nicolaitan thing. Yes. And that's the primary thing the church is encouraged. Individually, in our own lives, we have all kinds of little quirks that we've got to overcome for the very nature of Christ to come out. But it's the Nicolaitan, the conquer the laity spirit that was started out in the first age. And then verse 17 for the Pergamos church age, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then it goes on, and so in each age. Now tell me, how do you tune your radio ear to hear what the Spirit is saying? Is it just what the preacher's saying? Or get it sorted out, which is man and which is spirit? Not that I'm saying there's a mix, that is not what I'm getting at, but you sit under one preacher and he says this, then maybe you sit under another preacher and he hears that, and if you've caught it all in the carnal mind, then there's a war going on. Hold on, wait a minute, who's right around here? Because you weren't listening to the amen in the soul. Yeah. That's the Spirit that'll guide you into all truth, to recognize the Spirit word when it comes forth. Yeah. See, that's where we enter into that rest, that he that's in you will guide you into all truth. It says, you need no man teach you. It's not a matter of catch the preacher after the service and say, would you explain that to me? I can't understand it at all. Nothing wrong with that, but no matter how much he explains it, you won't have a revelation until the Spirit opens it to you. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, not the words you read in the Bible, they are. So when Jesus speaks it to you, it comes by revelation. Then it takes root. Now, the most common thing that we're all probably all familiar with is, and I've mentioned it to you here before, we all know that God is our healer. He sent his word as healing. We anoint with oil for healing. There's all manner of avenues for getting a hold of healing. And so consequently, we feel sickness coming on, and we take a hold of one of those avenues, and sometimes nothing happens right away. And yet you keep hanging on and professing and hanging on and professing because the word says so. And then all of a sudden, one day, something just drops in and says, it's finished. And you think, why didn't I catch that the first time? Why did I wait all this time to get that attitude? Because God had to give you that attitude. You can't develop it. All you can do is with your own thinking, you hang on to the word the very best you know how, and then God comes along and drops it in from a head knowledge to a heart revelation and brings it to pass in your life. The very same way, we go back to the very basic things about Jesus Christ being your Savior. And I have an idea many of us wanted a Savior, received a Savior, went into the waters of baptism, and then 5 years later, salvation meant so much more than that first day. And then 10 years later, it meant so much more, and yet you felt you were saved back there, and yet the understanding of everything that he's done for you just keeps growing and growing. And of course, the older you get, the more mistakes you make, the more you know how much you really need the blood. And I see the older ones smiling real big. Because the young person, they kind of got the world by the tail. You know, Jesus forgives me, and they go on. They don't realize what all has been put under the blood. But when you as a Christian make some more mistakes, then you begin to say, oh God, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. I'd be finished if it wasn't for that. Yes. Reading out of the Church Age book, well, read with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have these in another place in my sermon notes, and I didn't realize that they were on this very page. This was the last page I printed because I wanted something out of the Church Age book, and it turns out these very scriptures are on that same page that I have in another location, but we'll go ahead and touch on them now. We'll read that in just a second. I want to kind of get our thinking together for just a moment. I want you to get a visual picture of a very familiar subject and yet essential to our study. We are made up of body, spirit, and soul. And each one of those have inlets. I'm not even bothering to mention them because you can read them on the wall. Each one of those have inlets, and we grow up depending on, first, our see, taste, feel, smell, hear, our body contacts. And then depending on what atmosphere or nature we are raised up in, what home atmosphere or books we read or whatever, as we begin to cultivate our life as it goes up, then we begin to draw more on imagination, conscious memory, reasoning, and affection. And that can really waltz you off into fairyland somewhere if somebody hasn't channeled it for you. Because you can pretty soon your imagination world is more real than this world, and all kinds of things. You know, whether you're paranoid, every little group of people, they're talking about me, you know, that kind of thing, imagination. Or nobody likes me. Oh, the pastor didn't smile at me. I've done something wrong. The deacon didn't shake my hand. Paul didn't shake my hand when I came through the door, and he always shakes my hand. He didn't shake my hand. I wonder, something must be wrong with me, you know? And so you're still living in that wrong realm. Your anchor isn't in Christ in the soul yet. See? And so then, but by natural birth, this whole operation of God is overshadowed by a worldly nature. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. You're under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. Everybody is. It's because of sex birth. And because of sex birth, because that's not God's perfect way. Now, for people who don't understand the serpentine doctrine and those things, to say not sex birth, how else are you going to have babies, you know? But that's the only way now, but it wasn't God's perfect plan. Because God, all of God's family is birthed by the Word. You're birthed by the Word. Jesus was birthed by the Word. Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth and came from a power of the Word. So God's family is birthed by the Word. But when sexual reproduction was introduced into the human race, that put a perversion on the human race. Once the Word of God is perverted, Satan has a right to attach himself to it. So consequently, he has a right to attach himself to every human being. That's why Jesus, one of the reasons Jesus bypassed the sex birth to be virgin born, that he wouldn't come with this wrong spirit under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. And so every one of us have that. And I've tried to talk to people about that, and they look at how cute a little gooing baby is, you know. And you're trying to tell me that little baby's got a devil? The only reason that baby goes wrong is we adults teach them the wrong things. That's all. They watch us. Well, where did you get it? Well, I got it from some other adult. Yeah, right? And so, but the thing of it is, leave the baby alone. Leave the baby uncorrected. And it'll be a terror. Absolute terror. Because that spirit just takes more control, more control, more control, more control. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. So therefore, it takes that correction on that spirit. And so God has to work with us as little kids. He works with us through godly parents to keep us contained until he gets us under the Holy Ghost. Are we together now so far? And then with the new birth then, quoting Brother Branham, when he can get that old nature to stand still for the Word of God long enough, he burns out that old nature and sends a quickening spirit, water on the seed of your soul to bring forth a new nature in you. Now, even after the new nature is in you and you've been born again, you still have see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, and you still have imagination, conscious, memory, reasoning, and affection. So consequently, because they're still there, if you don't train by the Word and train by the Spirit, you'll still lean into those more than you lean into the Word. And because we are commanded by the Word and the Message to live, I'll put it in Message terms, from the inside of the inside, then every time you're living in your imagination, conscious, memory, reasoning, affection, or at see, taste, feel, smell, hear realm, you're actually backslid. Even though the brothers and sisters around you can't see one thing wrong. You're not doing anything wrong out there, but you're being led by the wrong senses. Now, when we bring that right into the church, and we realize, Brother Perry Green, my first 12 or 13 years in the Message, I sat under Brother Perry out in Tucson, and he used to use this example all the time. And he says, my bumps rub against your bumps until we both get smooth. And that's exactly the truth. But if we're not careful, when we rub the bumps on somebody else, then we drift into the wrong realm. I thought I was in a perfect church. I thought these were Christian people around here. Blah, blah, blah. What realm is that? It's not Christ. See, it's not Christ. So none of us are perfect yet. So we're going to run into these things. So we have to check everything then by what realm am I living from? That retort I just gave, where did that come from? Yep. God forgive me, see? And so we have to learn to put all this under the blood. Why are we doing this? So we can stay in the Spirit. Because as long as we're retorting from these other realms and giving this not Holy Ghost, not soul response, but coming from some other realm, you're driving the Spirit right away from you. So the Spirit that guides your life is not there. The Spirit of revelation is not there. And then you wonder, what's wrong with me? Maybe you've got a head full of knowledge. That doesn't mean anything. What is it doing to bring your life subject to the Word, to the life of Christ? So we have to recognize, where are we living? So all these senses here, if you're not living from the inside to the inside, that's where new birth is, that's where the word is, you're backslid. Now, if you're not born again, then you've got to get into that realm. But if you're born again, that's where you should be living from, which is a word realm. That's where Christ lives, is in that inside of the inside. So we have to bring everything subject to that. And then in the same manner, we've gone through these before too, but keeping it on our subject, the Old Testament tabernacle, typing out your experience as you walk with the Lord, in the justification experience as you come through the gates on your altar of sacrifice here, and your water baptism, which is where Susan's coming tonight, right through the gates, you'll stand justified. And then sanctified life, go through the first veil to live in here. And living in here now, you are not subject to this natural light. Now, so this is all the same subject. I'm wanting you to see this. Don't say, oh, well, he's taught us that many times. But I'm wanting you to catch it in the light of what we're talking about. What we're talking about is, how do you stay in the spirit of revelation? To stay in the spirit of revelation, you've got to stay in the presence of the revelator. So consequently, when you're letting world affairs out here be your illumination, be your tear-up, we'll say. All the world is going this way. Politics are going that way. Washington is going that way. And you get all concerned about those things. You haven't got your eyes in the right direction. You're looking back out here to the natural light that the world's looking at. Are we staying together? Yeah. Okay. And so then here now, this wouldn't be as much effective, but it would have some effect here. The seven golden candlesticks are in the holy place. And the seven golden candlesticks represent church. And if you're drawing your life from the church, listen now, if you're drawing your life from the church rather than from the source of life, then again, you're living in the wrong place, in the wrong light. So we have to go through that last veil, that's the one that was rent at the time that Jesus was crucified, to live in the presence of the revelator himself. And so as long as we're being pulled in these other directions, we're being pulled away from the revelator. We're no longer in the spirit on the Lord's day, as John said. And so consequently, we have to get in where God is, which is in the soul. Are we staying together so far? All right. So we can see that in our body, spirit, and soul, and in our tabernacle example, we've got the three places where we can live. Now, the message divides what's in the church into three categories also. There's the believer, the make-believer, and the unbeliever, representing the elected, the lukewarm church member, and the sinner. Sinners sit in churches too. And then, so that's representing then Abraham's group, the elect. They choose the separated life. They're expecting the promised son, and who, when hearing the message of the hour, it's a quickening life to them. And then in the next group, not Abraham's group, there's Lot's group. They choose to live in the world. Lot chose to live in Sodom. They choose to live in the world and claim to be not of it. The Sodomites, they are totally given over to the world church systems. So I'm not talking about natural Sodomites. I'm talking about sinners sitting in the church, sitting in churches, excuse me, that are just totally given over to the systems of the world. That's as much perverted as the people natural were in Sodom. Are we staying together? Okay. Now, when we get into the Bible, then we find that Paul, in the Greek words, divides men also into three categories, and that's psychikos, pneumatikos, and sarkikos. And he describes each one of them, so we have our three categories, and these all blend right together, whether it's body, spirit, and soul, or outer court, holy place, holy of holies, or the natures that are spelled out in the Bible, and we'll look at some of those. So psychikos, of the senses, the sensuous nature with its subjection to appetites and passions. The pneumaticos is spiritual, the renewed man as spirit-filled, walking in the spirit in full communion with God. And then the sarkikos is carnal or fleshly. He is the, quote, saved man who, walking after the flesh, remains a babe in Christ. Why? Because he doesn't get in a position to hear what the Spirit's saying. Staying with me? Okay. So I'll leave that one up there so we can look at it a little while. I'll get Paul out of the way. Put the three up there. 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, just keep in mind our subject now. This is the natural man can't get a hold of the things of God. He can be very religious, he can be very eloquent, he can be very smooth speaking, he can be all of those things, but he can't get a hold of it. It takes revelation from the Father. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of the man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Here comes revelation. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And in another place, Brother Ram says, and that's the soul I'm speaking of. Not your brain, not your intelligence. The mind of Christ is not in your head. It's in your heart. Matthew 13. Still talking about parables and the hidden wisdom of God. Matthew 13, starting at verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, calloused, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So again, we see the same thing, that once the revelation of the word strikes, along with it comes conversion, salvation, healing. It all comes right with revelation of the word. It's not a matter of saying, I hear Jesus died for me on Calvary. I believe that. Well, we do have to believe that. But somewhere along the line, that is quickened to you. It's not just a historical fact that you agree with. It's quickened to you that he died for you on Calvary. John 8. Let's pick up at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Remember, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You cannot hear. You are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So those that are of God, they hear with their ears the very same thing that those that are not of God hear with their ears. But for one, it only goes through the mechanical process of in the ears, strike the eardrum, cause a vibration, go to the brain, make a decision, do I agree or don't I agree? Whereas the other, it goes through the same process and settles right down in the soul and builds more of Christ in you, word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept, because it's the very soul, the very building blocks of Christ in you as the word comes in, line upon line, precept upon precept, understanding upon understanding. So here's what the Church Age book says. It is most evident from these scriptures that no man of himself can hear God. That ability has to be given him of God. In Matthew 16, 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed, but my Father which is in heaven. Now putting these verses together, we can see that there is only one group of people, and that's a very special group of people, who are able to hear what the Spirit says in each age. It is one special group that receives the revelation for each age. That group is of God because that group cannot, because that group is of God because the group that cannot hear is not of God. The group that can and does hear what the Spirit is saying and receives the revelation thereof is the group described in 1 Corinthians 2, 6. We have read it already. They are the ones who have the Spirit of God. They are the ones that are born of God. They are baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus by His Spirit. They are baptized by the Holy Ghost. So when we hear and you know that the Word is having a transforming effect in your life, then you can just say, thank God for revelation. Because intellectual understanding won't do it. It'll create puffiness. It'll create people who want to argue quote for quote. And every time you say something, they've got a quote to counter what you've got. But they never reach a conclusion. He also said. What's the final conclusion then? I said this, you said that. What's it? Well, I don't know. He said both. But somewhere there's a conclusion. Now, I admit there's some that I've heard too, and I don't know what the conclusion is. But little by little, they're coming together. Yes. Little by little, understanding by understanding, he says this and he also says this, and by golly, here they blend. Yeah. But some for a while they don't, but then they do. What is it? It's revelation. Right, yes. But you have to get into a position for revelation to come. I've told you before that when I get ready to bring a message, it'll take me at a minimum 30 minutes and sometimes 2 hours before I actually get in the spirit of study. And up until then, it's just, I'm going over words, I'm seeing things, I'm intellectually learning things, and I like it because I like the word, but all of a sudden it just begins to go like a whirlwind after a while. And then that's, you finally broke through and got into that channel. And it sometimes doesn't come easy. You remember when the time that Brother Branham was out hunting squirrels, and he said he had just shot a squirrel, and he says, and then a bunch of hunters came through with some dogs. Yeah. And he said it was a real cold, frosty day. And he says, well, I'm just going to sit here and be quiet and let until the squirrels come back out again, because all the noise those hunters made, they all went in the trees. And so he said, I just sat down, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he says, go to the place you call Sportsman's Hollow. Right. And so he said, I got up and I went to that place, and he said, I called it Sportsman's Hollow because I walked in there one day, and he said, there were 16 squirrels lined up on one tree. And he said, I shot my limit and quit. So he said that was the sportsman things to do. So that's why I called it Sportsman's Hollow. And he says, and I sat down. Now here's what I want you to see. He said, I sat down. I waited a half hour. God had told me to meet him there. Right. He said, I waited a half hour. Nothing happened. Right. He says, then I laid down on the ground. Right. I spread out my arms and my hands, prostrated myself on the face down on the ground. And he said, he spoke to me. Now, how many of us would have even waited a half hour, much less done step number two and step number three kind of thing? See, the principle is there. If God has told you something, he's faithful. If he says, meet me in Sportsman's Hollow, he'll meet you there. He maybe didn't say when, but he'll meet you there. So you go, you wait, and then in his time, he comes. In the meantime, you go through the mechanical motions of humbling yourself. And then he speaks. And the same way when he was coming down the mountain in the storm in Colorado, and he says, go back to the top of the ridge. And he said, boy, if that isn't the voice of God, he said, I'm a dead man because I'll go up there and freeze. And he said, I went up and I sat down. I waited. He said, nothing happened. I took off my hat. He said, nothing happened. I laid on the ground and began and waited on God. And he says, finally, he spoke. So that same principle of this, what was he doing? He was literally getting into a spirit realm that most of us know nothing about. But still, there was a process he went through. So if he went through a process to get that far in the spirit, there's a process getting there for all of us. That's why the message tells us you can't read the Bible like a newspaper and grow. Sit down in the newspaper and you read a few articles and put it away. An hour or two later, what did you read? I don't know. And often the Bible's the same way. You sit down, you read it like a newspaper. An hour or two later, what'd you read this morning? I don't remember. Why? It was like a newspaper. Right. See? Right. You did your mechanical duty. That's not the way to do it. You get in there and you pause a while. Doesn't have to be long. God, speak to me. Yes. I'm opening your word, Lord. This is your word to me. Now, talk to me, Lord. And read. And if you read a verse or two or three and it's not talking to you, go back and read the same verses. Don't keep piling them up more and more and more. Go back and read the same thing until it speaks to you. Then you may have to read more, you may not, but read it till it speaks to you. And then what are you doing? You're getting in the spirit of revelation. God's talking to you. Reviewing things you already know, but they all tie in to our subject matter. We're talking about revelation now, and the church is built on revelation. Matthew 16, of course, is the most popular one we always look at. So let's go ahead and look at it again, just so we get it in our head where we are. Because this is the place where the word tells us what the church will be built on, how it's going to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Very familiar scripture, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And of course, sermon after sermon, the prophet points out the you. It's not what your church says. It's not what mom and daddy says, young people. It's what do you say about him. God doesn't ask you, what does your mom and dad think? How does your church believe? That's not what you're going to be asked. If you stand before him in that day, you're going to be asked about your personal revelation. But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. There's our subject now, revelation. Has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. My Father which is in heaven has done what? Revealed it to you. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now what's the rock? Revelation from the Father. Revelation from the Father. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And that goes on to Peter with his revelation. So the church is built on revelation from the Father. No man knows who the Son is except the Father and to whom the Father will reveal him. Nobody knows who the Father is except the Son and to whom the Son will reveal him. Who's the Son? The Word. So it's revelation of both ways. You can't know the Father without revelation from the Son. You can't know the Son without revelation from the Father. And so it's a closed circle without revelation. And that's why they end up, like Brother Branham said about the Council of Nicaea. He says all those theologians met at the Council of Nicaea to determine the Godhead. And he says, and when they met, he says, one ran off into Unitarianism, oneness, this way. And he said, the other one went Trinity, that way. And the truth was right down the middle. Because we are not Pentecostal oneness. We do not believe the Godhead the way the Unitarians believe it or the oneness Pentecostal believe it. Neither do we believe it like the Trinity doctrine people believe it. Because they're going too far into the godness of Jesus, the flesh man. And that's not the issue at all. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So there's a separation there. And once you see it in Christ, then you know how the rest of the sons come along. Also, so there's that revelation. The church is built on revelation. So now just thinking with us, I won't take the time to look at the scriptures, but just think now. The book of Hebrews says, Abel, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Where do you get faith from? Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. He didn't have a Bible, so where did he hear from? He got a revelation. So therefore, Abel was instructed, and he believed the instruction, and that was his faith, and he acted on it, and God accepted it. But now watch the program of God. Cain had no instruction, and yet he was offered a reward by just following what the one with revelation did, but he wouldn't do it. He was going to do it his own way. The error of Cain couldn't follow the vindicated way. And thousands and thousands upon church people all over the world, maybe even millions, are going to miss it. Not just because they failed to get revelation, but they won't even follow the vindicated way. No one had a ministry like William Branham. And all the churches that look in on what this message is producing in young people, and they all ask the same thing. How do you do it? Because they see the direction their kids are going, and they see the direction our kids are going. We have in our kids, maybe they're listening to the wrong music, and we say, man, these kids, wow, how terrible. Nobody's on dope. Nobody's an alcoholic. Nobody's having babies out of wedlock. That's what the world is fighting. Are we staying together?
Yeah.
We may not be where we want to be with everybody, but everybody has to come through those things. You're not, by natural birth, you're not born again. So each one has to go find their own process. So Abel by faith. Did you hear that? 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the word natural there is the word we've got up here, psychikos. And so the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So now we're getting a picture. Now let's go to, see if I get this one right, James 3:15. 3:15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. The word sensual there is our psychikos again. So there's a wisdom that comes from this life level of the psychikos, of the senses level, still living in our see, taste, feel, smell, hear realm. And we'll linger just a moment there. This wisdom cometh not from above. That word there from above is anathen. And when Jesus told in John, Nicodemus, you must be born again. The word there is anathen, you must be born from above. And when Luke said, I had good understanding from the beginning, the word is anathen, I had good understanding from above. So it's that same principle, it's still revelation coming in there, that from above revelation versus sensual, which is devilish and really down to earth. And then I'll read those to you, the ones that I just quoted. Luke 1:3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that is from above. And in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because in that psychikos level, you're blind to the things of God. You can read the Bible, but there's no understanding. A person has to get further than that. In Jude 19, it says, these are they who separate themselves, sensual, not having not the spirit. That's psychikos. And then I found it interesting where in John, where we read, where Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I took a look at the word see. And it says, it is a form of the word to see, have seen, be seeing, to perceive with the eyes, to perceive by any senses, to perceive, notice, discern, discover, to turn the eyes, the mind, the attention to anything, to pay attention, to observe, to see about something, to ascertain what must be done about it. But a person can't see that at that level of psychikos understanding. God has to quicken something more to you about than that. Now, in the pneumaticos group that we're talking about up here, number two, now that we'll find that in Ephesians 5 for one of the places, and we'll look at a few of those. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 18. Now, the pneumaticos man, like we have on the screen here, the renewed man as spirit-filled, walking in the spirit in full communion with God. Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, that's pneuma, but not pneumaticos yet, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that's pneumaticos, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and so on. So there's the pneumaticos man rejoicing in God. Romans 1:11, I'll just read it to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Pneumaticos gift. Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, pneumaticos, but I am carnal, sarkikos, sold under sin. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to go back through that again, because I want to feed in some words here this time, because we touched on part of this already. 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to start at verse 12 this time. We read this, but I want to fill in some words for you. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, the word pneuma there, you're like a pneumatic tire that's like air. It's that kind of spirit. It can be used for the Spirit of God. It can be used for most any spirit. It's pneuma. We have not received not the spirit, the pneuma of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice what part of the revelation is, to know what's given you. It's not a matter of he's going to freely reveal to us everything we must do to earn our way into heaven. That's not the idea. He's already got something for you. He wants to give it to you, but you got to know what it is before you can receive it. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual pneumaticos things with spiritual pneumaticos. But the natural, psychikos, man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually, pneumaticos, discerned. But he that is spiritual, pneumaticos, judges all things, yet he himself is not judged. We have the mind of Christ, it goes on to tell us. Sarkikos, the last group, 1 Corinthians again. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, pneumaticos, but as unto carnal, sarkikos, even as unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Now hold your place, we're going to continue reading. But notice up here the sarkikos is the carnal, fleshly, the saved man who, walking after the flesh, remains a babe in Christ. So you've stunt your own growth by the realm that you choose to live in instead of trying to press on closer to God. And without the pressing, like Paul said, I can only reveal just so much to you. On the level that you're living, I can only just take you so far. The rest of it, you're going to be blind to it. You just will not see it. Verse 3, for you are yet carnal, sarkikos. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal, sarkikos, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal, sarkikos? Now, we saw much of that in the early days of the message. I'm of Seven Thunders, I'm of Lee Vale, I'm of Perry Green, I'm of. And everybody was taking sides as to whose camp they were going to join, which manifested carnality in our midst. But now the church is rising out of that, and they don't need that identification. They just want to find a place and feed on the word somewhere and grow in their relationship with Christ and be active in the local body, the way the Bible says, see? And so it's not a matter of identity. I've watched some of the brothers that have disassociated themselves with the leader they were identified with. Like here, they were, I'm of Paul, they had picked their man, I am of, and they were under that, and now they've pulled away from that, and they're trying to find another leader. And I think, my, haven't they learned their lesson? I'll just read this one to you, 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly sarkikos lusts, which war against the soul. I'll read it to you again. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly, sarkikos, lusts, which war against the soul. So this, remember, we're taught in the church age book that we have been given dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so here he's saying now your fleshly lusts, which your flesh has lust, it's not born again. He's going to, your fleshly lusts are going to war against your soul. So abstain from giving over to those things. So the natural man, learned, gentle, eloquent, fascinating, but the spiritual content of Scripture is absolutely hidden from him. And the fleshly or carnal Christian is able to comprehend only the simplest truths, which Paul called milk. And we see the very same thing now in the church through the ages, because you remember all, as we watch the church, there's not only the church individuals in the age, but there's the church itself being brought to maturity. I can't find it. It's about Melchizedek in Hebrews, and Paul is saying, I have many things to tell you about this man, but you're not ready to receive it. Because why? The church was at a level, it just wasn't time. But when now at the end time message, when grain is coming back to grain again, then a prophet spent a whole sermon on who is this Melchizedek and just opened up the whole thing. But for the infant church, wasn't time. For the mature church, it's time. So all these things are just opening. But it comes by getting in the spirit of revelation. And then the revelator can talk to you. I got through 3 or 4 pages and I got, I don't know how many left, but that's okay. While we're going through all this, I'm refreshing my mind very greatly. And like I said, getting ready for over there. I ought to come back from Russia and re-preach the whole series again so you can see how it all finally boils down. Well, I might do that. We'll see. Yeah, okay. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much and we love your word so much. And God, even though it's almost like practicing on the local church as I study these things out with the real goal of the Ukrainian convention, and yet we know, Lord, the word is good no matter what. We just, it's good for us. We feed on it, and it's just delightful because it's you. You are your word. God, may the word as it was given tonight go out and create its effect, Lord, to do the work in the people's hearts. May that transforming power continue to work in the hearts of the saints, developing us into the very image of Christ. For that's your goal, so that's our goal, and we want to move right with it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.